guys, welcome to Dance Matters Podcast, the place where we talk all things dance and the performing arts industry.
A place where we share knowledge and real stories from people in the industry in the hope of inspiring and educating. We are your hosts, Kaylee
and Charlie.
Charlie, if you had to pick a dancer that you really looked up to and aspired to dance like, who would it be?
Oh, there are so many of them. Of course, all the Next Step people. But there are also so many amazing young Australian dancers that just are insanely good at what they do. But if you were going to make me pick one, I don't know if I could ever go past Brian Olay.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Charlie, because today we get to talk to someone who has worked with and continues to work very closely with Brian.
I'm so excited!
Mitchell Jackson is an absolutely amazing dancer and choreographer who has worked closely with Brian, even choreographing for her tour with Jennifer Lopez.
Mitchell grew up training in Ontario, Canada, in jazz, ballet, hip-hop, contemporary and musical theatre. Within 2 years as a competitive dancer, he had won multiple awards.
He then went on to train in Toronto, New York, and Los Angeles. As a dancer, he has appeared in multiple television shows and music videos by leading artists. Mitchell continues to work with dance studios and competitions across North America as a choreographer, teacher, and adjudicator.
He has also created his own dance competition on the floor, Ultimate Dance Experience, and is the director of Intrepid Dance Company. Welcome, Mitchell.
Hi, Mitchell. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are a dancer, choreographer, teacher, and adjudicator, but can you tell us what first drew you to dance?
Okay, what first drew me to dance? Well, I always danced around the house and stuff when I was younger, but I didn't actually take any classes or have any formal training. So I decided to go to a performing arts high school and I started to dance there. So just, I think getting a credit while dancing really sounded exciting to me. So I always knew I wanted to dance. I wanted to do something with it. So I just jumped right into a high school program. And then from there, I fell in love with it. That was it. That was it for me.
So you didn't start any proper training until you went to high school?
Yeah, it was pretty late.
Did you feel like it was difficult to catch up with those who'd been doing it since I was three?
Absolutely. It was extremely difficult, and I have a very competitive mindset from playing sports when I was younger and just kind of in my blood to just be very competitive with everything. So watching other people progress quicker than me because they already had some training or just already being at a different level but the same age, for me, I could not handle it. So I think that's why I excelled so quickly. I just was ready to go. I was very competitive.
Once you started high school, did you also join an after-school program as well?
Yeah, so I joined a studio in grade 10, but I didn't start competing until grade 11. So in grade 10, I joined a studio. And from there, I took all of the classes, the senior and the intermediate classes, even though I was aged as a senior. And from there, I went full force into competitive for my last 2 years of high school, grade 11 and grade 12. And then I was just obsessed with it.
When you started your dance training in high school, what were the styles you started with? Was it jazz?
Ooh. So at my high school, we mostly did modern and ballet, but we had jazz classes as well. And we dabbled in hip hop a little bit of tap, but most high school programs in Canada really just focus on modern ballet. And then you have your occasional weekly jazz class, but it's pretty modern and ballet. So, and I really wanted to do hip hop and jazz and other styles. So that's a huge reason why I went to a studio.
So did you end up training in all styles? Is there a style you haven't done much in?
So my studio is really, really strong at tap. And I was really, really behind when I tapped. So that, for me, was a really difficult style for me to pick up because my studio was so strong in tap and the steps just went right over my head. So definitely tap I'm not strong at, which I wish I was because I love tap and I love the rhythms. I love everything about it, but that's definitely not a strong point for me. And I wish I did more formal ballroom training. I definitely am not that strong in ballroom training. I think that's something that I would love to jump into one day.
Tap is one of those things, though, when you watch a good tapper, they go so quickly and their feet are moving so fast.
Absolutely. And everyone at my studio was good at tap. And my studio owner was so invested in tap and the routines. So I was allowed to take the classes, but I was not at their level to compete. Because for me to start tapping at a later age, it's one of the harder styles to pick up when you're older, right? Yeah. It's especially, you feel really uncoordinated. I remember learning it being like, I have two left feet.
So you only competed for 2 years, but during that time you won multiple awards. What were your most memorable awards?
Ooh, that's fun. That's fun to ask. It's so long ago. It's over a decade ago for me. I competed at Nationals in Las Vegas, and I remember my solos placing I think, first, second, and third overall, or first, second, and fourth, or something. So that was a huge accomplishment for me because, one, it was nationals. There were some great competitors there. And two, it just felt like it was my final competition of everything, like my last time competing. So that was, I think, getting that placement. Even though I really didn't involve myself too much with the placements in competition, I really was in the mentality to just go out there and work my hardest and whatever happened, happened. But I think that definitely triggered some happiness when that happened at that competition. So that's something I'll never forget.
When you were at that level of competing, how many hours a week were you training?
So I think my studio, it was around 16 to 20 hours a week. We trained quite a bit, 3 to 4 days a week. And then at school, I had an hour and a half during the day. And then after school, I was part of that program as well. And then I took privates, like ballet privates and jazz privates. So I for sure was doing around 30 hours a week, but I was obsessed. And that, I don't think it was mandatory for me to take that many hours, but once I was in the dance world and I was training at that level, I just thought, I'm putting all my eggs in this basket. So it was probably 30 hours. Yeah, 30 hours.
You grew up in Canada, but you went and trained in New York and Los Angeles. What led you to America?
Around a decade ago, the opportunities in the United States were a lot more prominent. You had more options and the training was stronger, as now Canada is kind of the hub for Netflix and a lot of TV shows and movies are filmed in Toronto and in Vancouver. So at the time, it drew me there because I really thought that I had to move to Los Angeles to become a professional dancer. And if I wanted to do Broadway, I'd have to go to New York. So that was kind of the pull for me. It's if I wanted to do like tours and award shows and train at that level, I had to be in LA and New York for Broadway, which is crazy because now everyone's coming to Canada to work. So that, I think that's probably what drew me. And I like the environment of everyone being so hungry, everyone wanting it, everyone, you know, coming to train, coming to class every single day. That was really important for me to surround myself with people with the same mindset. So that was for sure my pull.
When you finished high school, what was the dream at that point?
Dance, for sure. Something with dance. Like, I forecasted dance, but it was definitely a little blurred. I didn't really know what I was going to do with dance, which is crazy because what I do now, I didn't really pursue the professional dancer route as much as a lot of my peers did. I wound up opening up a dance competition, right? So I don't know if I saw that on my radar, but I think I always saw myself directing and producing and kind of being more behind the camera and being in charge rather than always being on the other side of the camera.
Did you attend a full-time course or a college, or were you training by finding open classes you wanted to attend?
That's a fun question because I actually dropped out of college. I went to college for one semester for dance, and then I booked with an agent. I was going to so many auditions and missing so much school. And my teachers at my college actually said, we don't think that you need to complete this program to make it in this industry. We think it's best for you to leave. And I left. and it was crazy. I remember just like calling my mom being like, they told me I should leave. They told me I should leave. And my parents were like, you're finishing. You're getting your degree. And then I just started booking, you know, various things. And I think that's what helped me. But oh my goodness. Yeah, I did go to college for a little minute. Not very long.
As a performer, you've danced in a number of television shows and in video clips. What would you say was your first breakthrough job?
Ooh, I think because I pursued choreography and teaching so much that my first breakthrough job was probably teaching at Millennium in Los Angeles. I'm pretty sure I taught my first class there when I was 20. So it was pretty young. And that is known as like the largest drop-in center in the world. So for me, I think that was my breakthrough point in my career. Like my first, I don't think mine necessarily was being on TV or on a movie or anything. I have to say it had to do with teaching.
You're telling us that you moved into choreography and teaching and things like that. Did you find it difficult finding work as a dancer and want to transition over, or was that just more your passion?
Absolutely. It was very, I'm pretty sure that when I was really invested in the industry as a dancer, there wasn't as many opportunities as there are now and as there was right before. There was a lot of TV and film and things happening before I came to Toronto. And then now it's crazy. Every day someone's being booked for a movie or a TV show. And at the time, if you weren't on So You Think You Can Dance, you kind of just didn't get the job because they just would call the people who were on the top 20, right? So for me, I thought to myself, I got to make my own path. I got to create something for myself. And that's what transitioned me into starting a dance competition, because I was kind of tired on getting rejection and getting no's at auditions and not really booking the job and, you know, going so many months without a job in that field. So I knew that I was good at teaching and choreographing as well. So I just put everything into that, all my energy into that, and it worked out, thank goodness. But I remember that was a scary leap, deciding I wasn't going to train as much and, you know, have an agent anymore and stuff like that. But I think it had a little bit of to do with rejection for sure. Definitely lit a fire under my butt. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be doing something else now.
Did you get a lot of auditions, but it just at the same time, it's a lot of no's before you can get a yes?
Absolutely. And it's something I preach as much as I can, that like you might get a million no's, but the one yes can change your life. So I got a lot of no's. I did get some yeses, but for me, I wasn't, even when I got the yes, I wasn't necessarily happy doing the project. It wasn't fulfilling me anymore. So I had to dive into something else. I think I have a really hard time being in the background, like on stage or just like the backup dancer, or, you know, not really having any say or control over anything. So I think I'm done with this part of chapter of my life.
So you took it into your own hands to go and find your own work as a choreographer. Is it hard to get your first opportunities to choreograph things?
Absolutely. And I think everyone has a different path with this as well. It's going to happen differently for everyone. Just as if you're going to dance, you might not book a job. You might book a job. You might win a TV show. There's so many things that can happen. So many variables. So with choreography, I know people who have booked a job choreographing a movie at 18 years old. And I know people who haven't booked their first big thing until they're 30. So it's getting that first job and getting in the door, especially if you want to do TV and film. Once you kind of get to know producers and directors and showrunners, you really start to develop relationships and they'll hopefully book you on further projects, future projects. But I think getting into studios and stuff, you just got to really be personable, give them incredible routines, care about the kids, learn their names, and, you know, go the extra mile to really build that relationship with choreography and studios and give them those numbers that they all want. When they're bringing someone in, I think they're really looking forward to having a number that's going to be like, wow.
Is there a bit of pressure that comes along with that?
Oh my goodness, it's crazy. And for me, I often go back. So I choreograph some studios, I do 30 to 50 numbers a season. And when I'm doing the routines, they are looking for that number that's going to take them and win. So you, every year you have to constantly up yourself. Think of a new idea. Think of something that no one else has done. It's the same, you know, working on a TV show on World of Dance when you're choreographing for someone and every episode has to be a better dance, right? You have to constantly raise the bar. Even for me, when I'm working with a dancer for solo on Instagram or anything, people want to see something different every time. So that's the challenge, is really getting innovative, pushing yourself, dabbing into that creative side and just pushing the limits. And it's always tough. It's always tough for sure.
How do you keep the ideas fresh? Choreographing 30 to 50 routines, how do you keep finding something different?
Yeah, that I get that question frequently, especially from my peers in the industry. So I probably do anywhere from 200 to 300 routines a year, which is crazy. On top of teaching classes and new routines every week for my dance company, Intrepid. So that is a really great question. Music inspires me, especially new pieces of music. I often can hear something and instantly create movement and an idea, concept instantly when I hear that track. And dabbing into other dance styles and also variations of that dance style. So, you know, doing a jazz number that's really layered and fun and fast and has a lot of intricate choreography versus something very smooth and stylistic and Fosse's. So I think just every year I kind of switch up my styles within my style, and that helps me get, because I have to do research, I have to listen to new music, I have to go into the studio, move to that new style. So doing things like that helps me become innovative and also makes my stuff look fresh, because you can get stuck in a rut where your stuff starts to look the same patterns. And that's the worst thing for a choreographer. I don't want my stuff to come on stage and people be like, that's Mitchell. Even though a lot of people do, I prefer if they say, is that Mitchell? I think that's Mitchell number, but I'm not sure because it looks kind of different. You did something different there. That's what I kind of want. I want people to question it. I think often people know it's mine, but I want them to question it. So staying fresh and is like key for sure.
I feel like at times some choreographers could go, oh, look, I've done something similar to this before. I can just bring out this old number. How important is it to your reputation, though, that you're not rehashing things or you're not doing things because it's the easy option to do something you've done before?
I have to be so in love with something to redo it. I do reuse music frequently, and I have reused concepts in the past, but they've been for things that are never going to cross paths and are for different parts of the industry. So I will, let's say, choreograph a competitive routine for a studio, and then I'll use that routine for a Christmas show for an industrial job. So they won't compete against each other. Mm-hmm. That's something that happens frequently in our industry, especially when people use the same piece of choreography at a studio and then they compete against each other. Luckily, that hasn't happened to me because I think I'm smarter to make that decision, but that's a no-no for me. But reusing a concept 5 years down the road that you're in love with,
yeah.
I think if you approach the studio and you say, listen, I did this 5 years ago in another country and I really want to do it again. I don't remember the choreography, but I love the concept, and some of it might look similar because I've used it before. And if they're okay with it, I think then you're good to go. Because sometimes I feel like I maybe need to redo a number because I didn't fully get there when I did it a few years ago. So I think it's okay. And at the end of the day, it is your work.
What would be your highlights of your choreographic career?
So every year I get to direct and choreograph the largest gala for sick kids in Canada, and that's really fun for me. So there's about 120 dancers who do this show every year, and it sells out every year. It's a huge show, huge success, and it's so fun training. We work on it for 1 month and put together this huge show. So for me, I've done it for 7 years now. I love choreographing that because I'm donating my time, and it really feels, all my ideas feel super authentic, and just I'm doing it for the right reasons. And I probably do about 8 numbers for the show. It's mostly my choreo, and then we hire some outsource. And then everything I think on, like Roll the Dance and So You Think You Can Dance. I loved doing the opening of the J-Lo tour for Briar. That was super fun, and getting to choreograph the parts when she gets to go on stage for that tour. I guess a little bit of giving back, like a fundraising aspect, is definitely fulfilling for me. And then probably I had a really great time choreographing on World of Dance. I would say that that's probably a highlight for me. And they are so incredible on the show. They treat you like gold. They treat the choreographers like gold, and they want you to succeed. And getting to create on my husband was so fun, and getting to boss him around. So that's always fun. So probably World of Dance and the Sick Kids Gala, 2 things. But I have a million more. But we'll put those 2 at the top. They're tied.
Why is it important to you to give back?
So the reason why I started my dance competition with my best friend, Lisa Hupe, our whole idea was giving back. So we had a student who had multiple surgeries and was in and out of Sick Kids. And we saw her struggle, but we saw her passion for dance. And we wanted to create more opportunities to bring dance into the hospital. So for us, it was a no-brainer to keep that element of giving back throughout our whole dance competition. So when you win at my competition, you win to be a part of the gala. So you win the month of training, but you're technically donating your time too and learning all these pieces, and then you're in this show. And so you're putting in a lot of hours, and all the money raised goes back into the child life department at Sick Kids Hospital, and they are responsible for all like the parties, the proms, the dance nights, the arts and crafts, the games, the movie theater. So all those elements of Sick Kids Hospital, we are helping directly fund now. And I think that's a huge part. You feel so much more fulfilled in your life if you have a purpose. So for us, doing this competition, it feels like it really has a purpose, because we're teaching all these young dancers too the importance of giving back and how important it is to be involved with something in your life that's just not dance. You're not just going to compete that weekend. No, you're going to compete for a spot to, you know, hopefully change some kid's life. And I think that has such a more meaning to it. And dance to me is my everything. So the fact that I can incorporate any portion of giving back to such a wonderful charity makes me really happy.
Oh, that's brilliant. You mentioned Briar and dancing for J-Lo. So Briar was dancing on J-Lo's tour, and you were choreographing all of the dances Briar did in that?
Yeah, so she got to open the J-Lo tour. So she came out on stage first, which was crazy because it's very rare for a dance act to be the opening. So that just goes to show how incredible she is. And yeah, I got to be a part of that. Briar literally flew in for, I think, 24 hours and we choreographed all the routines because I think we had to have 4 routines ready to go. And she got her costumes fitted in the same day and got back on a plane back to LA. So we did all the rehearsals on stage with her phone on FaceTime at the front. And I would be like, move this over that way and jump that way and do this. So it was really fun and really great experience for me. So Briar got to pick who her choreographer was. So I'm really honored that she asked me because that was a really cool experience.
That's incredible. So if you're coming up with 2 minutes of dancing, how long would that take you to choreograph and to work out? How much work goes into 2 minutes of a show?
So you're going to be like, what? I choreograph so fast. So I can normally choreograph a solo in under an hour. So normally when I go into a studio to do a someone solo, it happens in under 2 hours for sure because my choreography flows really quick. Same with groups. I can do like a group, like a 3 or 4 minute group in probably 2.5 hours. So I choreograph extremely fast. I find I thrive under pressure, like people telling me you have to get this done. And also I find once I start moving and getting into shapes and different transitions, if I just keep going, it works the best for me. So something like that. Well, I definitely took more time than that doing those ones. And there was a lot of back and forth after because of the way the stage was. We had to make different transitions and do different flips here and travel this way and also make sure that we're putting things that a full stadium of 80,000 people are going to find exciting watching one teeny little tiny dancer on the stage, right? So we have to put things in there that make it exciting and make 80,000 people freak out. And we want that to happen because we want dancers to continue to get these opportunities, right? So hopefully people will follow in J-Lo's footsteps and start hiring dancers as an act because I think that it was so cool. So for me, I think it probably took we probably worked on it for a total of like 12 hours, I would say, the acts. Maybe 20 if you really, all the FaceTiming back and forth. But something like that, definitely for those acts are super important, right? You want to make sure everything's like at a professional level. So those take a little bit longer. But the creation is very quick.
It's incredible to have a dancer in the forefront and it's not that she's a backup dancer for someone singing. It was just, she was the act.
Yeah, so cool. I was so happy for her. I was so emotional watching it when I got there. And they announced her name like that. I just was like in the audience, like, this is a big deal. This is a big deal.
Can I ask, if you're asked to do a solo, do you do a lot of groundwork before you go in or do you just have the song and you go in there and you start hearing the music and you can make it up?
I'm a walk in the room kind of guy and just boom, go. I ask the dancer what their strengths are. I say, is there something in this solo that you absolutely, like, if I don't put this in, I'm crazy for not putting it in. And normally a dancer will be like, yeah, I'm really good at my jump. This jump or this turn or something. And then I try to make it a harder version of it so that they're upping their game. And most of the time, I think I just kind of go in there and wing it. For groups, I always have the song pick.
You're impressive. You work quick.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a gift because my friends are just so jealous that I can do that. And they're always like, and it's good. Like, how did you make that good? And you just did it so quick. And I'm like, that's what I do. It's what I do.
You mentioned the Millennium Dance Complex. What was it like teaching there?
Well, I taught at the one in LA a couple times, but we opened one up in Toronto a few years ago, and that was super fun. The LA one is a completely different vibe. It's insane, right? Their classes are always packed, and you get really great response from the dancers. So that was really, it's really fulfilling. The challenge with teaching at a drop-in center like that is you have to come up with new content every time you teach a class, and it has to be amazing because people are filming you, and people are expecting it. And when it's the Los Angeles one, you're often getting people coming in from around the world. So if you decided to not have a really good combo that day, but then that day you don't know that this person's coming in from Australia and they're the best dancer ever, and you're kind of like, ugh, you missed that opportunity. So you have to up your game and you have to give your best class because it's considered a master class, right? When you're teaching at Millennium, you're considered the top. So you have to give an amazing class because some people flew there to take it, right? So the pressure is a little bit more on than your regular night of teaching.
Yeah, no pressure. It's all good.
Yeah.
You do some adjudicating. Do you enjoy that?
So last summer I adjudicated in, I think, England, London. Yeah. And I hadn't for a long time. So I own a dance competition. It's a very big one in Canada. I don't adjudicate for that, obviously. I'm just the announcer, but I have a hard time adjudicating. I have a hard time sitting still for 12 hours a day. It's a very difficult job. And I think it's probably one of the hardest jobs in our industry. Anyone who does it and who does it well, hats off to them, because that is a very difficult job. Keeping your score scores all perfect throughout the whole thing. Remembering the first dance versus dance 900, it's so difficult. So I don't really enjoy it. I enjoy the pressure of it. I like that. And I do like kind of being in charge and, you know, writing out special awards. I think that's all really fun. But after 4 days of, you know, 12 to 14 hours sitting down, very difficult. You got to be very talented to be an adjudicator and to love it. So my answer is no. I don't necessarily love it, but I respect it. That's for sure.
Yeah, after 10 acts in the one section, I get muddled up with them. So I've got no idea how the adjudicator keeps 20, 30.
Yeah, they're amazing. And some of my adjudicators are so good. And I'm like, they remember everything. It's so good. So good.
You mentioned that you create your own dance competition. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so On the Floor is across Canada. It's a dance competition. And we have conventions as well. We do a summer and a fall one. And it's so fun. It's just a party. Sad it didn't happen this season because of COVID, obviously. So we're ready to go for 2021 and hoping that everything goes smoothly. And we run one giant nationals as well in July. So all the regionals come and compete at the nationals. Once you win title, we call it all-star at our competition. And then from there, you get invited to do the gala. So we kind of have events running all year round. And it's so much fun. It's like my dream job. I love dance competition. I love being there. I love seeing all the kids all weekend, seeing the dances and everything. I didn't think I was going to love it as much as I do. And not having it this year, you take it for granted, right? You're like, oh my goodness, I missed that so much. So yeah, On the Floor is, if I could tell you a little bit about it, it's my whole life. It's definitely the main part of my career.
So you run it throughout all of Canada. How many regionals would you run?
So I think we had 12 this past year. We had 12 regionals. So some weekends actually have two stages. So like last year, we had some weekends with 1,500 entries. So it's pretty big. It got really big last season. This season also would have been a very large season for us. And yeah, we run around 12, but they're sold out, like very big weekends. So they run for a minimum of 4 days. Then the nationals, we just run one nationals.
Now I've stalked your Instagram a little bit, and I've noticed that your strength training is a little bit phenomenal and amazing. As a dancer and performer, how important do you think fitness and strength training is?
It's so important. I think every athlete, every major athlete in the world cross trains, and they figure out what other sports or art forms or exercises they can do so that they don't get injured. Dancers often stick to only dancing. I think it's extremely important. For me, fitness is number one. My health, my body, that is number one. It always has been number one for me. And implementing that in my every single day life, I try to do something active every single day, whether it's a cycle or a walk or going to see my trainer. And I think dancers need to realize that that's really important. A stronger core, stronger inner thigh muscles, everything complements each other. You got to remember what we're doing and what we're asking you to do. Some things are crazy, especially my dancers. I'm telling them to stand on one foot and jump in the air and flip and blah, blah, blah. And if you don't have the proper body muscle mass to provide for these crazy, crazy tricks, you get injured. So I think cross training is extremely important in adding those conditioning classes into a schedule for a dancer. Strong core, strong body, strong mind. That's all so important. And it all complements each other. So why not? That's why I think fitness is so heavy and into my schedule, because it complements my dancing.
So what sort of training do you get up to keep yourself in peak physical fitness?
Oh my goodness. Well, I love cycling. I got a Peloton about a year ago and I just started cycling more and more. I like the cardio aspect of that. I feel just like when I come off the bike. I used to run a lot, but it started to get harder on my body. I still run, but just not to the level that I was doing. And seeing a personal trainer and giving them your needs, exactly what things you're looking for, things that you want to improve on, and things that you know are going to prevent you from getting injured. So injury prevention is so important. Any exercises that you can do at home or at dance class on the side, or anything that are going to help you prevent injuries, are just going to prolong your career and make you even better. So I think injury prevention, number one, would be on my list for any dancer. But just figuring out what you need. So if you're coming off stage after your solo and you can't breathe, you need more cardio, right? If you're having having a hard time doing certain exercises that are upper body, then you should be doing more push-ups or back-ups or things like that, right? If you have a hard time holding your posture, you need stronger back muscles. So everything complements each other. So just figuring out exactly what you need from your teacher and working on those muscles.
You've had an absolutely incredible career and obviously many more years to come. But what have been the biggest challenges you've faced?
Biggest challenges I have faced. Wow. Okay. Biggest challenges. I think coming into my own was a huge challenge in my early 20s, just really figuring out who I was and what the best version of Mitchell was extremely difficult for me to navigate and figure out that, to see that clearly. That definitely was something difficult for me. Not jealousy, not being jealous of my peers who are moving forward in different paths and careers and really living that incredible dancer life and booking all these jobs. So not having any jealousy towards them is something that is crucial in our industry if you really want to thrive and for it to be healthy mentally for yourself. And probably body, figuring out where my limitations are and not pushing myself too hard to get injuries. And just knowing that my leg might go this way, but it might not go the other way like the person beside me. So that's something for sure. But I think everything else has been pretty manageable. I don't think there's been any like major thing in my life that's like prevented me or been a speed bump. Everything's been, for the most part, except for COVID. But I mean, we're all kind of going through the same things. And it's been really cool to navigate how we can all work together and still thrive as an industry.
What is it that scares you?
Spiders. Spiders. You have big spiders in Australia. Oh my God, you guys have those huge ones there. Every time someone posts a video of them from there, I just freak right out. Okay, I'm not really scared of many things, to be honest. I'm not scared of taking risks or anything like that. I'm not scared of change. That's a really great question. It's probably just spiders. Spiders in 2020. Two things scare me. That's probably it.
What is your favorite style to dance?
I love jazz.
What is your favorite style to choreograph?
Great question. Probably jazz, but also contemporary. I'm kind of like the person in the middle between those two. I really enjoy both genres.
What style do you find the most challenging to dance?
Okay. Tap. Definitely tap.
You have choreographed a lot with Brian Olay. What is she like to work with?
She is very easy to work with. A lot of dancers want to give their two cents, where she kind of lets you take over and lets you be creative, and then you'll have a discussion on things that maybe don't work. So I think that's so important, working with a dancer. It's so difficult when there's another cook in the kitchen, but for her, she lets you completely take control of the situation and the choreography, and then you thrive. So for me, that's what it's like to work with her. She's just awesome. So I think that's really important.
And it must be easy when she's so capable of doing so much.
This is our normal conversation between the two of us. I thought of this thing today. I don't think it's possible, but can you try it? And then she's like, yeah, sure. And then she does it and you're just like... It's wild. It's wild.
It looks like she's a really hard worker. Is that true?
Yes. And she's very similar where we both like the fitness aspect side of things too. And I think that's so important. But she's definitely the kind of person that just like wakes up every morning and has a full list of things to do, even on her day off. And I think keeping busy is so important and keeping scheduled, especially when you're not necessarily working on a project at the time. So she creates her own projects. She's such a hard worker. And when she's in class or working on something, you don't even hear her voice. She's just constantly pushing and trying to perfect it.
You've choreographed for World of Dance. What was that experience like?
The best. The whole crew, the producers, the directors, they all are on your team. Even like J-Lo and the judges, they all want you to do so well on the show. They want you to succeed. They're there for you mentally and physically, which something like So You Think You Can Dance isn't the same. They really want to see you compete on So You Think You Can Dance, and they want drama. They want it all. On World of Dance, they really are looking to support you, and they really want you to win. They want everyone to win, and whether or not that happens, it's just the case, right? But I thought it was so cool that they work so hard on your choreography with you, the whole team, like the Nappy Tabs team, and they have a team of people. So the whole process just feels like everyone's supporting you. feels like a family. And I've never felt that on a TV show, especially a reality TV show, working on both versions of So You Think You Can Dance. It wasn't the same when I was working on those. Definitely different.
Do you have a routine that stands out in your mind from that show?
On World of Dance? Yes, probably Derek's first routine I really loved, but I really loved his second routine as well. And then I only did one of Briar's. I did her redemption solo. So the one where she's running around like crazy when she had the dance for her life. For Briar, that one, but I loved her Ashes routine, even though I didn't choreograph it. My best friend Jordan Clark choreographed that one. And then for Derek, probably Remember Who I was my favorite one.
At what age did you decide that dancing and performing was the dream?
I think as like a younger Mitchell knew that I wanted to do something. I'd watch TV and everything, and I kind of knew I not necessarily wanted to be a celebrity, but something like that. So at a young age, I knew I wanted that. I just didn't know what that was. So dance for me, really probably when I was 15, 16, I was like, this is it. This is what I'm doing. This is the best, because it's the best, right? Yeah.
Was there ever a time that the dream felt impossible?
Absolutely. I worked at McDonald's for a while to help like pay for dance and my costumes. And then I worked at the dollar store. And then I worked retail jobs up until I was 22. I managed a couple retail stores in Toronto. And working different jobs that aren't in the field of what you're pursuing has to really, it's difficult because it doesn't necessarily, it has to complement it. And for me, it was really only complementing it because it was helping me pay for my dream. So there was times where I was just like, oh my goodness, it's not, I don't know if this is going to happen, right? And then once I started to really teach and choreograph more, and you start to become really successful and in demand, I was like, wow, this is going to be my thing forever. But there was a hot minute there for probably my early 20s when I was really figuring out how to navigate it all, right? Because even if you book a couple jobs a year, you're making peanuts. You're not making enough to live. You still have to have another job. So the hustle was crazy. But so I guess probably when I wasn't fully dancing and working as a dancer choreographer, there was moments in my head that I was like, should I go back to school? What should I do? Is this going to work out for me? Because I also wanted to be financially stable. That was something really important to me. I wanted to be able to provide and have things for my family, and I wanted to be successful. So there was the hot minute there, those early 20s where I was like, didn't want to work at McDonald's forever.
What did you do to get you through those moments?
Dance more. Definitely dance more. Get re-inspired by other dancers. Get in the studio more. Train more. Do more research. And fight for it more. And I really, really used to email everyone back in the day for jobs to teach and choreograph. Whereas I probably haven't emailed for a job in 5 years. I don't think I've emailed one person in 5 years. My schedule's just been steady, which is a crazy, crazy thing to even think about, because I remember going through that stage where I just was blasting out emails to studios. So I think knowing that there was still fight and just like having that fight and need to really push and try to get those opportunities was something. And then getting the one answer, right? It's just like the one yes, and getting the one, yeah, sure, we'll have you in to do this. So knowing that there was options and opportunities and I could get them was definitely something worth fighting for.
What advice would you give to your 10-year-old self?
Start dancing at 10. Start doing your splits and pointing your feet. Probably take more risk in the arts. Jump into it a little bit more. Believe in the talent that you have and just go even more. Go even more. It was so different back then to be discovered and to find what path you were going to take, because social media now has such a presence for young children. And if you were a fabulous dancer or singer, you could become famous just from posting something. So I think giving myself just the push and back then, and just telling myself to fight for being in the arts more dancing, more singing. That's a regret of mine. I wish I jumped into it a little bit younger. But then also know, because I had a really great childhood and dance, I didn't have to go to a competition every day of the week, right? So kind of a tricky question, but probably that.
What are your goals and dreams for the future?
I'd love to grow on the floor. I'd love to come to Australia. and have competitions worldwide, definitely grow that as much as we can. And my dance company, my school, Intrepid Dance Company, I would love for that to just be so much bigger and attract dancers from around the world to come train with us, because Toronto has some of the best dancers in the world. And if we could just really grow that portion of Intrepid, it would be awesome. Just attract more people. So both from your business oriented, growing both my businesses and putting as much as I can into them.
So Intrepid Dance School is your studio?
Intrepid Dance Company is the company that my business partner, Lisa, and my husband is the director of. It's a full-time company that trains from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday. And it's a one-year program. And it's right when you finish high school. It's a post-secondary program. And it's just extremely rigorous, like 40 hours a week, nonstop dancing, very crazy training just to fully prep you and get you ready. Like, they're all training at a Briar level because they all want it. So it's a very small class of 12, and it's my dream, because I never had that. And my college that I attended definitely didn't have the training suited for me. And I think if there was a program out there when I was 18 that was like this, I would have been thriving a little bit differently in the industry right now. So it was something we created, because there's nothing like that in Toronto.
Yeah, see, in Australia, we started out with 1 or 2 full-time dance schools. Now it seems there's one on every corner. Do you not have many in Toronto?
For post-secondary?
Yeah.
Oh, no. There's... like colleges and universities, so 2 to 4 year programs, but they also have a lot of academics in it as well, so not as much dancing. Like, for training, we have one in Vancouver, and it's incredible. But in Toronto, no, there's no, like, rigorous dance program that's going to take you to where you need to go. There's none of that right now, besides Intrepid.
Yeah, right. Okay. Good on you for starting something and getting it up and running.
Yeah, it's been fun. The year, too.
Have you guys had to stop this year, or have you been online classes? What have you been doing?
So, our last season got cut short in March, so we went online until June, and then we actually only... just this past week was our only week we had to be on Zoom. So we were in studio only up until last week, because we just went into lockdown.
Mitchell, where can people follow your story, get in touch with you?
At Mitch Jax on social media.
And they can find out more about Intrepid. You have a website and your dance competition.
Yep. At OTF Dance is the Instagram handle for On The Floor, and at Intrepid Dance Company is the handle for Intrepid.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thank you. That was so fun.
Thanks, Mitchell, so much for joining us. Remember, you can find all of our previous episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Please feel free to get in touch with any feedback or questions you have via DM on Instagram at Dance Matters Podcast.
Don't forget to head over to My Diva Squad to check out their amazing bags and dance accessories.
They have the best bags.
Keep dancing.
And remember,
listen, love, and learn.
Catch you next time.
Bye.